Hey everyone, in this episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, we're going to talk about my Yamaha MT-09 SP and the ongoing saga it is getting that repaired. We're going to talk about a group ride I did just the other weekend to check out this really cool little Australian bakery in the Royers Ford area. We're going to talk about a brand new motorcycle that I purchased myself. And we're also going to talk about everything being on back order. Everything being on back order. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8 of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. I am your host, Walt, from Walt in PA. And I guess the very best way to start this podcast is with the saga that has started every episode for the past, 6 weeks at this point. And that is, what the hell is going on with my 2022 Yamaha MT-09? So we talked about a couple of episodes back, we talked about how I broke it. I stripped the rear caliper bolt. And then the following episode, I talked about how everything was on back order and I was unable to get an OEM replacement part from Partzilla or direct through Yamaha. And then last weekend, we talked about having ordered a part from England from a crashed bike, and how I was kind of at the mercy of the postal service in getting that from the UK all the way here to my little town in southeast Pennsylvania. Well, there is some good news in all of that, and that is that the rear brake caliper assembly actually arrived sooner than it was supposed to. I got it a couple of days after I recorded the last podcast. I reached out to Martinmoto. I let them know that it was in. They told me that the service manager would give me a call to make arrangements on when I could schedule the bike to be in. I guess about a week went by. I wound up going over there and scheduling it in person just because I'm kind of the impatient type and I like to have things done quickly. So I went over, I had everything scheduled, and just a few days ago, they actually came to my house, they picked up my MT-09, and they carted it off in the Martinmoto delivery truck. And it's a wonderful service that they offer this time of year from October until March. Any service that costs in excess of $100, they do free pickup and delivery within a 25-mile radius. So in my case, I know that it's going to cost me at least $110, which is 1 hour's worth of labor. So I was able to get them to come over, pick up the bike, and then drop it back off again after the service is complete, or after the repair is complete. Saves me from having to take it over there with no rear brake, or tow it, or cart it off somehow. And it just makes things so much nicer, being able to have someone come and go with the bike so that I can get it taken care of. Kind of a lousy situation all in all, but we are moving in the right direction. So Martinmoto picked up the bike on Friday afternoon-ish, and they are closed Sunday and Monday, so I would imagine I will probably get a phone call with an update on the bike either tomorrow, which is Tuesday, or Wednesday. Hopefully, I have the bike back by the end of the week, and we're back to riding the MT-09 again. I'm really looking forward to it. So as this whole 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP thing has been going, I've been dealing with back orders for weeks. And just coincidentally, I happened to be on Instagram just the other day, and I'm scrolling through, and I see an Instagram photo from the 333 Motovlog. Is it 333? Yeah, 333 Motovlog. Sometimes I get his channel names mixed up. But he had mentioned that it was this funny meme on waiting for parts for his Tenere 700. And apparently it's a thing for Tenere owners that Yamaha is backordered and people are having difficulties getting parts. And of course I chimed in. I said, it's not just the Tenere owners. The MT-09 guys are waiting too. And, you know, it's interesting because I see that from the 333 Motovlog. I know that I'm waiting on parts from Yamaha. I watched a video from Chopper Fett recently where he, at the beginning of the video, he mentions that he's waiting on a part from Kawasaki. Again, a backordered part, I'd imagine. Trekkie Moto has been waiting for parts for his Triumph for weeks. He's got Blaze Pro saddlebags on his bike. I used to have them on my Honda. I love them. They're awesome saddlebags, and the carrier, for lack of a better term, that keeps the bags from swinging underneath the bike and hitting the rear tire, are bolted on usually either at the exhaust bracket or, in my case, on the Honda, they were mounted behind the passenger foot pegs. So, you know, you take the foot peg bolts off, you put the mounting brackets on, and then you take this longer bolt and bolt everything together. Looks nice, it's clean, everything fits nice and tidy. Well, on Trekkie Moto's bike, one of those bolts worked free and actually fell out, and his exhaust was hanging. He lost the bracket for the Blaze Pro saddlebags, he lost the foot peg, and he lost the bolt holding it all together. So I think he zip tied it together just to get home or get to the dealership, where Martin Moto was able to put a temporary bolt in there, and then they ordered him a new foot peg. But that was weeks ago. And the crazy thing is, it's the same foot peg that's available on a variety of Bonnevilles. So the fact that this one foot peg that's available for a variety of bikes within the Triumph lineup is on back order is amazing. So I guess it's not just Yamaha. It's Yamaha, it's Kawasaki, it's Triumph. And what makes me really curious is, how are the Harley guys holding up? You know, is there anyone out there that's riding a Harley that's experiencing the same sort of backorder issues that everyone else is? I mean, is the supply chain for Harley Davidson parts as bad as it is for all of these Japanese imports? Well, Japanese and English with the Triumph. But, you know, I'm curious how everyone else is holding up. Is anyone else waiting on parts, or is it just a small group of people that I just happen to see coincidentally because I'm in kind of the same boat? You know, speaking of same boat, it's not just motorcycle manufacturers that are facing back orders. So a month and a half or so ago, I ordered a set of Michelin Road 6 tires for my Yamaha MT-09. And I ordered them from motorsport.com. Now, along with the order, they gave me some kind of fast cash thing, and I wound up getting $40 to spend on other things from the store. The hitch was that, you know, you got the fast cash after your order was completed, after it arrived. So basically, they were incentivizing you to buy more stuff from them. So they gave me like $40 in fast cash, and I didn't think anything of it until just the other day. I got an email letting me know that my fast cash was set to expire, and that if I wanted to use it, I had to use it within like the next 3 days. So I go on to Motorsport. I start looking through, agonizing, like looking at all this stuff that I don't need, but I want to buy because I've got $43 and, you know, I would rather not just waste it. Well, eventually I settled on a race mat. It's the same mat that what my wife bought me for my Yamaha. I wanted to buy another one for my second bike. And I thought, no, you know, these are kind of expensive, a lot more money than I would pay for them. But with $43, it's still kind of expensive. But, you know, what the hell? I want it to match. I want the new bike to sit on a mat just like my MT-09. So I placed the order. And then within 2 or 3 days, I get an email from Motorsport that the mat that I ordered is back ordered and they don't have a fulfillment date. So it's the exact same situation I ran into with Partzilla when I ordered the rear brake caliper assembly for the MT-09. You know, I ordered it. It says, you know, ships in 2 to 3 days. And then in 2 to 3 days, it turns into back ordered with no availability in the foreseeable future. And so, I don't know whether this is like a sales tactic for the motorcycle industry or what, but it's another one of those companies that makes you call to cancel the order, which I find really weird. Why does Partzilla and why does Motorsport make you pick up the phone and call them to cancel the order? I wonder if it's one of the situations where if we make it a little bit harder on you, you know, maybe you'll just let the order go through and you won't cancel and we'll still pick up the sale. But I wound up calling the number that they emailed me letting me know that this part was back ordered and I could call this number and give them this reference number and they could either cancel my order or they could change my order to something else, you know, whatever I wanted to do. So I call, it rings a couple of times, and then a customer service rep gets on the phone. And I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing her. You know, as I'm reading the order number off, I can hear it echoing. It must be on like speakerphone or something. I can hear her cats meowing in the background. It was just really weird. So basically, I give her the information and I tell her what I want to do. I want to cancel this order, and instead I want to place this order for this other thing instead. And you know, she says, "Oh, you know, I can cancel the order, but I can't add another item to your order. I'll have to transfer you over to a parts specialist." And you know, they transfer me over to the parts specialist, who clearly was not in the same facility as this first individual. And he's like, "What's up, bro? How can I help you?" And it's like, just it was just kind of a strange contrast. So anyway, I give him the information. He's able to cancel the original order. He puts in a new order for my new item. I wound up ordering a Nelson Rig Commuter Series Light tail bag for my bikes, plural, because the Commuter Series Sport that I have, which is the medium size bag, doesn't really fit on either bike. So instead, I bought the smallest size Nelson Rig bag available in the Commuter Series, and I'm really hoping that works out for me. And they were, fortunately, they had one bag in stock in Virginia, and that shipped today. So I'm pretty excited about that. A little bummed out that I'm not getting the mat. But at the same time, the mat's $140. I mean, it's like a big welcome mat, like the type of mat you put in front of your door, only it's like really thin and it says Yamaha across it. Just really expensive for what it is. Cool, but you know, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of glad that maybe the order was canceled. So, you know, talking about that Nelson Rig Commuter Series Light tail bag was kind of a good segue into the next thing I'm going to talk about. So I think in the last episode, I was talking about the Bucks County Covered Bridge Ride, and I think at the end of that little discussion topic or that segment in the podcast, I think I mentioned that I was planning on going on another group ride with a couple other guys from the Walton PA Discord server. And if you're curious, I mean, I mentioned the Walton PA Discord server probably in every episode because it's kind of where I communicate with everyone on a regular basis. It's a really small crew, 15, maybe 20 people at the absolute most. A bunch of us are locals here in Pennsylvania, Southeast Pennsylvania, and we try to get together and do some group rides or a little riding together here and there. It's a lot of fun. And the guys that aren't local, well, we just chat it up with those guys, have a blast. So if you'd like to join in on the fun, there is a link in the bio of this video or this podcast where you will be able to click on that, and it will take you to the Walt NPA Discord server where you can join absolutely free. Check out the group. We'd love to have you. Anyway, now that little sales pitch is over, so a handful of us in the Walt NPA Discord server, we're talking about getting together again, and it seems to be happening a lot now that the riding season is starting to wind down, and we all see that the temperatures are dropping, the days are getting shorter, the opportunities to ride are becoming few and far between. Like, these group rides seem to be formulating at a much, much faster pace than they used to in the summer when it was beautiful and we had all day to ride. And so last weekend, a couple of us got together. It was me, Zach, Trekkimoto, and that was it. It was just the four of us. We had one or two other people that were going to join us, but they had some things come up and they couldn't make it. So it was just the four of us. And the plan was originally to ride out to the Grismer's Mill Covered Bridge. And then from there, we were going to stop at this place called True Blue Bakery in Royersford. So when I heard Grismer's Mill Covered Bridge, I kind of thought, not that it's a bad place. I've been there dozens upon dozens upon dozens of times. It's not far at all. It's just a bridge that I've been through countless times. And, you know, I thought, like, you know, that's, for me, that is such a short ride. It's like, if I take the long way, it might take me 20 minutes to get there. And then we'll ride down to Royersford, which isn't far from me either. You know, by the time it's all said and done, maybe I'll have ridden 35 to 40 miles. And I want to stretch that out a bit. So Trekkimoto was organizing the ride, and I said, hey, why don't we pick a spot closer to you? This way I can ride out further, meet you, and then ride back. This way my day of riding is not really, really short. So we looked at a map, and it turns out the Classic Auto Mall in the Morgantown area was just a good spot for all of us to meet. So we got together there was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Sat around talking a little bit, hopped on our bikes, and we rode from Classic Auto Mall out to Grismer's Mill Covered Bridge, which was over in an instant. Trekkie Moto was leading the way. He used Google Maps to get us there. The route was fun, but the route was too direct. You know, by the time we got to the bridge, I think all three of us looked at each other and said, I really thought that we were going to be riding longer. Like, this is shockingly, it's shocking how fast we got here. So we walked around, we checked out the bridge, took some pictures, hopped back on the bikes, and rode on out to Royers Ford, where we went to the True Blue Bakery. This was Trekkie Moto's idea because they serve Australian food, in particular like sausage rolls, different savory pies, some interesting stuff. And as someone that's done virtually no traveling, very little traveling throughout my life, I've never left the country, you know, Australian/English food with sausage rolls and whatnot was completely new to me. And I was really interested in trying it. So we stopped at this little bakery. We figured we'd have lunch there. And when we got there, we noticed a potential problem, and that was the restaurant was takeout only, entirely takeout. It was this small little shop along the main strip. You know, great location, cool place, but it was grab and go. So we get in line, we grab our sausage rolls. Fortunately, it was a beautiful day, and there were some benches, you know, outside the store down the street, maybe 50 yards at most. Oh, near this little grassy area. So we sat down, we had our sausage rolls, had a few laughs, and realized that it was still too early, and we were just going to get on the bikes and do some more riding. We wound up way out in the Green Lane area, wound up heading back towards like the Martin Moto area, and then eventually splintered off after we got gas at a local Wawa. It was a really fun day. I enjoyed myself a lot. The bakery was great. I can't wait to go back. It was really expensive, though. You know, we're sitting there, and Trekkie Moto had mentioned that, you know, sausage rolls in the UK they're kind of like our pizza in the sense that you can get them anywhere. Like, they're everywhere. He said, but the difference is pizza is really expensive here, and sausage rolls are really cheap over in the UK. I think he said, like between $3 and $3.50 each, and we were paying well more than that. I got a cheesy sausage roll and a can of Pepsi, and it was just over $10. So again, you know, it's a little boutique shop; prices are going to be more expensive, but it was an awesome little treat and a great way to stop for a quick lunch on a wonderful day out on the motorcycle. All right, folks, this is the part of the podcast where I usually do a featured piece of content. Talk about a podcast I listened to or a moto vlog that I saw or a YouTube content creator. You know, something in particular that I found interesting and I wanted to spread the word and tell you about. Well, I realized I've developed kind of a fatal flaw in this system in that I have a tendency to gravitate to the same channels around the time when I'm prepping the show notes for this podcast. So every time I sit down to do this, the first thing that comes to mind are the handful of channels that I've talked about week after week after week, or episode after episode after episode. So I thought I'd do something a little bit different this time around and focus on a particular channel rather than a particular piece of content. So I have been doing some housekeeping on my YouTube channel. I went way, way back to some of the first videos that I ever recorded. I was going through some analytics, just trying to get a feel for what was going through my head when I initially started the channel. And I noticed a trend. I mean, I started seeing patterns arise in the types of videos that I was recording, how long the videos were going for, the style of video. But there was also something else that I noticed, and that was the same people were commenting week after week after week, or video after video after video. And it dawned on me that guys like Misplaced Moto Vlogger, Frank, who I've followed for at least 2 years at this point, probably 2.5 years at this point, has been commenting on my channel for a very long time, since the beginning when I started back in 2020, June of 2020, I think, is when I launched my Walt NPA channel. And I am massively grateful for that. Not only has Frank supported my channel for the past 2.5 years, he's also a member of the Walt NPA Discord server, and I get to chat with him on a regular basis. And even better yet, Frank joined us for the Road Apple ride, the group ride that we did from Valley Forge National Park out to Shady Maple Smorgasbord in the Lancaster area back in 2021. It was last year, I believe. Cool dude. Had lots of fun on that ride with him. You know, I've gotten had a chance to get to know him over the past couple of years, and I am proud to recommend his channel to you. So if you're interested in checking out a New Jersey motovlogger who rides a Triumph Tiger and is just a laid-back, chill kind of guy, check out Misplaced Motovlogger. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So at the beginning of this episode, I had mentioned that we were going to talk about a new motorcycle. And it's true. I pulled the trigger and I purchased a new motorcycle. Last episode, I teased that I put a deposit down on a 2023 something. And that 2023 something is sitting right behind me in the shadows. You probably can't see it because, well, I'm in a shed. And I don't have the accent lights on behind me. And I don't even think you'd be able to see it even with the accent lights on. So before I unveil what it is, let's talk a little bit about the whole buying process, or how this all went down. So I've been beating you over the head constantly with this whole Yamaha MT-09 issue that I'm facing, with a boneheaded move that broke my bike. Boneheaded move, 100% my fault, that's had my bike down for several weeks at this point. Parts have been back ordered. I'm really struggling to get the bike back on the road. And it made me realize that I really needed to get a second bike. It's something that I've been toying around with doing for, I don't know, the past year. And I just couldn't find the right bike, or I was struggling to make a decision on what I wanted to buy. And because I couldn't make a decision, I kept dragging it out. And then this whole Yamaha thing really popped an exclamation point on it and made me realize that it is time to get a backup bike, because if I didn't have one, it would be, I don't know, at this point, 6 weeks with no motorcycle. I mean, that's a big chunk of the riding season was gone. So I decided to finally pull the trigger. I looked at a variety of used bikes. I talked about the whole shopping process in the last episode, how it was not going well. So I started looking at new bikes. And after having such a blast on that Honda CBR300R, I knew that I wanted something small. You know, I wanted something very, very different from the MT-09, but not quite a 300. Now, for, I don't know, the better part of a year, I've been kind of keeping my eye out for a pre-owned Kawasaki Ninja 400 to pop up on the market. And the funny thing about this bike is that I don't want to say it's like a unicorn, but you, at least in my area, it's very rare that you see them pop up. And when they become available, they're usually being sold for virtually what it costs to buy one new. It seems crazy. If you want a 250, there's an abundance of them. If you want a Ninja 300, tons of those too. But if you want a 400, they're much, much harder to come by. So when I started seeing the prices were virtually the same as new bike prices, I figured, what the hell? I'm going to buy a brand new Ninja 400. They're not terribly expensive. I could probably get one without too much fuss. So I hopped on a couple of different websites. I started looking around to see what was available. And wouldn't you know, two of the KRT edition, which was the Kawasaki Racing Green, were available at Martin Moto. So I went over, I wandered around the dealership for a while, couldn't find them, grabbed a sales guy and said, hey, you've got two Ninja 400s listed on your website. What's the deal? I can't find them. So he taps away on his keyboard, pulls up his inventory information, and realizes that they are in the back. One of which was still in a crate. The other one was partially assembled. So he said that we had just recently got these two bikes in. You know, one's in the process of being assembled. The other's in a crate. He said, I need to check on them because we got two bikes in the wrong color. So I don't know if these are actually the KRT editions or if I'm thinking about something else that came in. Now, when I heard that, I wasn't particularly upset because, well, I like the KRT edition, that green, that vibrant green, but I also like some of the other colors. I think it was maybe last year, they did like a gray and orange color combo that I thought looked really cool. There's a white and blue and purple kind of color scheme. It looks more of a like a feminine paint scheme, but I like that as well. So I was open-minded. If it wasn't a KRT edition, I probably would have been just as happy. He came out and he said that he must have been thinking of something else. Both of them were KRT editions. So basically I said, okay, here's $500. I want to put a deposit on this bike. When it is assembled, please give me a call. I'd like to test ride it. And then, you know, once I get a chance to ride the bike, I'll make a decision and, you know, we'll kind of go from there. And he was pretty happy with that assessment. I paid the man money. And the following week, and this was probably a Friday or a Saturday, by Tuesday, I got a phone call letting me know that the bike was together. It was ready to ride whenever I was. So ran over to Martin, signed a waiver, hopped on the bike, and went for a ride. Now the test ride process was a little weird. So I know that the dealership has a very liberal test ride policy. In effect, if they sell it, you can probably ride it. You can probably test ride it. I mean, it's almost a certainty. I've never heard of anyone being turned away at this dealership unless, you know, they didn't have a motorcycle license or they were obviously they were giving unsafe vibes in the dealership. But they were telling me that generally, usually they do like guided test rides where you and a sales member will go out. You know, you can follow one another around and then you'll come back. And the test ride's usually like 15 minutes or so. But they were busy and they're down. They recently lost two sales members. So it was just the two salespeople there at the time. So basically, they just gave me the keys, had me sign a waiver, and basically said, like, just hop on 100 South, go down to the Wawa, turn around, come back. Like, and, you know, that should be fine for a test ride. So, well, that's probably that test ride that you just explained to me sounds like the least fun thing I could possibly do on this bike. The last thing I want to do is hop on a highway, ride 3 miles, turn around, and come back 3 miles down the highway. Like, that doesn't sound fun at all. How about I go the other way into the back twisty roads that lead up behind the quarry? You know, like, that is much more fun. So they said, well, sure, that's the direction we usually go for test rides. So if you're familiar with the roads, you know, go down here, make a right on this road, take that road to this road, make a right, go down to this other road, make a right, and that'll bring you, you know, right back to the dealership, make a left, and then a right, and you're here. You know, and then they're telling me, like, okay, just be careful around this bend because it's a decreasing bend. It gets, as you go around the corner, it gets tighter. You know, just make sure you slow down. You know, you don't want to go flying through there. And, you know, they were giving me some safety pointers. So I come back to the dealership from the test ride. Was pretty happy. I mean, if there was one thing I could change, I would love the test ride to be longer. It just didn't feel like it was nearly long enough to get a feel for the bike. I mean, it was just long enough to get you excited about the bike without you actually being able to identify any issues that you might have with the bike. You know, like, if my 15-minute ride were, let's say, 30 minutes, you know, I might get a better feel for how comfortable the seat was. You know, am I going to feel a little cramped? You know, for a short 15-minute ride, it's, like, not a big deal. You may not notice these things, or they may not. It's over so fast. It's really hard to get a feel for a motorcycle in such a short period of time. But I was pretty happy with it. Brought the bike back. I told them that I'd be in touch in the next couple of days. I wanted to sleep on it. And a couple days later, I decided that I wanted to own one. So I sent them over all the information I needed to get the paperwork prepped, because if there's one thing I hate about buying motorcycles and buying cars, it is sitting in the dealership waiting for that stupid paperwork to be processed. Just please just do it. Like, do it while I'm not there. I hate sitting in a dealership waiting for things to print. So I gave them all the information. They were able to prep all the paperwork for me, like going in, paying for the bike, signing all the paperwork, doing the whole power of attorney thing for the licensing and titling and all that stuff. It was over and done in maybe 20 minutes. So, I mean, they did a great job with streamlining everything after I got them the information that they were going to need, which was, you know, they needed some photos of my ID. They needed proof of insurance, a couple of other things. And they were able to get the paperwork processed while, you know, before I even got there, which was fantastic. Unfortunately, I wound up at the dealership almost 2 hours anyway because I asked them to install some frame sliders for me. I figured out, what the hell, I'll ask them to do me a favor. And I like having that little extra sense of insurance or sense of security in having frame sliders on a brand new bike. I'd rather not ride it all the way home and then start pulling the plastic off to mount these frame sliders. I figured I'll just ask them to do it for me. That process took a bit longer than I had hoped it would, and also didn't quite have the result that I hoped it would, which, if there was one thing about the entire sales process that irked me more than anything, it was asking them to do me a favor and install these frame sliders, thinking that they were going to do it as part of the purchase price of the bike and then have them bill me for it before I could leave, after I had already paid for the bike. That was one thing that irked me. Well, that was one thing that bugged me more than anything. Otherwise, the sales process was really smooth. I was happy that they got the paperwork together ahead of time. I was happy that I would have been able to be in and out in 20 minutes. The test ride process was great, although I wish it could be longer. And the bike has been a blast. So much fun. It's got more power than the CBR 300R that I borrowed a couple of weeks back to go on the Bucks County covered bridge ride. And it's got the power in all the right places. It's got more mid-range. And this bike, it's so much different than the MT-09, and it is exactly what I wanted. So it's all surrounding me. All around me are backcountry roads of southeast Pennsylvania. You have 35 mile an hour speed limits, tree lined, possible deer coming in and out, winding roads through the woods, just really cool roads. The MT-09, if you can be going way too fast for these roads in second gear, and the bike is just doing it with ease. It has got far more power than I'll ever need in just situations like these. And the Ninja 400, I mean, you just ride it with that throttle cracked wide open, engine screaming, and it's not overpowering the road. I mean, it could overpower the road, but, you know, it takes a lot more effort to wind up going way, way too fast. So it's an absolute blast to ride. It sits lower than the MT-09. It's got clip-ons, so it's, even though it's an upright seating position, it feels more aggressive, lower to the ground. It feels more maneuverable. It is much lighter than the MT-09. I want to say it's a little over 300 pounds. It's just loads of fun, and it does everything that I wanted it to do. And I don't know that it's going to affect how often I ride the MT-09 too much. Basically, I firmly believe that the MT-09 is pretty much the best all-around motorcycle right now. It does so many things really well. It's comfortable. It's priced right. It's got loads of power. It's sporty. I'm super happy with it. And I'll probably take it pretty much everywhere I go that is not a short ride through local backcountry roads. So, I mean, I'm seeing uses for both bikes, and I'm eager to put miles on both bikes. And I'm learning relatively quickly that the Ninja 400 is so much cheaper than the MT-09. So I called my insurance company to get it insured, and it is less than half the cost of the MT-09 per year for full coverage insurance. I have to have the first service done on this. After 600 miles, they do an oil change. They do some checks, some routine maintenance. When I had the M209 done, it was a 3.5 hour service, or almost a 4 hour service. It cost me like $400. While I was in scheduling my M209 to have the rear brake caliper assembly taken care of, I inquired about how long it would take to have the Ninja 400 serviced. The first service on that is an hour and a half. So it's like, the first service is going to be way cheaper, way faster. The tires on this thing are like teeny. I can't wait to see what those are going to cost compared to my M209, which set me back like $500 for a front and rear tire. I'm really curious to see what the tires on the Ninja 400 are going to cost. But man, it's been loads of fun. It's just a fun little bike, and I'm really glad I bought it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. I am your host, Walt, from Walt NPA, and I'd like to thank you very, very much for watching this episode, or listening to this episode, depending on where you're consuming the content, whether it be on my YouTube channel or through podcasting apps such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and Stitcher. And the list seems to be getting longer and longer every time I do this this ending. But thank you very much for joining me on this episode. I look forward to hearing from you, in comments, reviews. If you want to drop me an email, it's walt@waltnpa.com. You want to join the Discord server. Again, the link is in the description or the podcast notes. And I look forward to talking to you. As always, thank you very much. And as always, ride safe, and I will catch you in the next one.